You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. The program is Quran Quest, where we discuss the chapters and verses of the Quran with our dear and beloved Brother Habib. Brother Habib, salamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you very much for finding the time in your busy day to be with us.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yeah, you have to create your own time sometimes.
So, Brother Habib, we arrive on chapter 82 of the Quran, Al-Infitar. Let's listen to the first five verses of this surah and we'll be back to discuss it. Don't go away.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
إذا السماء انفطرت.
When the sky breaks apart.
وإذا الكواكب انتثرت.
And when the stars fall, scattering.
وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ.
And when the seas are erupted.
وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ.
And when the contents of graves are scattered.
عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ.
A soul will then know what it has put forth and kept back.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, and you just listened to verses 1 to 5 of chapter 82 of the Quran. So it seems that this chapter is describing the beginning of the Day of Judgment, which is an extraordinary day. But let's begin with first things first, the nomenclature of this chapter and the general information that we need to know about it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على محمد وعلى بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Starting off with the reason of revelation, it's not been mentioned, but when looking upon the verses, it is understood that this was sent towards the people of Mecca, those who disbelieved on the Day of Judgment. Because we've talked about this before, that what really makes a chapter a Mecca chapter is the fact that it pretty much talks to people who are in denial of the Day of Judgment, those who are in denial of the prophecy of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi. On the other hand, what makes a chapter a Madani chapter is usually the verses that have to do with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi and the Muslims during the time of Islam, laws, new laws, the wars that happened between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi and his enemies. And that is because of the hijrah that happened between the Prophet. That is because of the hijrah or the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Mecca towards
Medina.
All
right. So the first two verses read: "When the sky is cleft asunder, and when the stars are dispersed." It's like the sky is split open, as if. Can you explain to us these two verses?
Personally, when I return to the sayings of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam and towards the words of the scholars. Shia and Sunnah, anyone who has interpreted the Holy Quran, I reach at this point, and that is the fact that sometimes you have to witness it with your own eyes. You can only imagine it, what it is, and that really just leaves a mark on a person's soul. And that is, there are some things that are going to happen that are very frightening. Some things that need very good intention of. Especially for the believer in the Holy Quran that believes that this book has been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his prophet and to guide human beings towards their correct path.
So this is a description, but it's nowhere close to actually experiencing the event.
Exactly.
Some people say that it's like splitting the sky, it's as if a gate opens.
Or it's like if, glass, how you break glass, in cartoons we see it, you could imagine it, like the sky is like this kind of glass, and then you just hit it with a hammer, and it just breaks and sheds, and it cracks open.
It's really unimaginable.
Yeah,
really.
How has that happened? Did it expand? Has the earth expanded so much to a point where it rips? When you expand gum, for example, and it just rips open?
Right, yeah. Okay, thanks for that. Let's take a short break now. We'll be back for verses 3 and 4 and 5 Don't go away.
إن سألتم عن إلهي فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشرع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين.
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest with Brother Habib. We're on chapter 82 of the Quran. And like Brother Habib said in the previous part, just before the break, when the sky is cleft asunder and when the stars are dispersed, it's something that you think you can imagine, but it's on a whole different level if you experience it. The message is that it's going to be something extraordinary, way beyond our imagination. Verses 3 and 4 say, when the seas are burst forth and when graves are turned inside out.
Now, before moving on, I just wanted to add something I didn't have a chance to before we went to the break, and that is the fact that when the stars are scattered, you know how precise astronomy is, and you know how they read how the movement of this rock and the movement of this asteroid and the movement of this planet and stuff like that. During this time, chaos will be upon these laws, these physics that we all know altogether. You know, you have to throw away Newton's book on gravity, for example, and the Newton theory, and you know, you just have to get rid of it during these times. Why? Everything has been come into chaos. Something very big is going to happen. And another example is verses 3 and 4 of the Holy Quran. And it says, when the seas are merged, that's the translation that I have in front of me. And your translation was bursted, right?
Are burst forth.
Are burst forth, I think, is the better translation. If you want to look at the linguistic word, you know, just looking at the lightness of the word itself, of the word fujirat. And
it's from infijar, explosion.
So like blast forward, and then this is the result of the explosion where the seas merge.
Mm-hmm.
See, like how, you know, like I seen this in a movie once. Like they're zoomed out of planet Earth, and then all of a sudden you see water going on land, this big piece mm-hmm. of land. Just imagine everyone going on a tsunami of water.
Mm-hmm.
So all of it becomes water. It's covered in
it's
water.
As if
for
when
example.
It's saying that it's burst forth, it's as if it's so strong that it's shattering the land.
It's shattering the land, exactly.
Pushing the corpses out of the yeah. graves. That's how strong it is.
Not pushing the corpses out of the grave. It's talking about the land. It's just talking about the water before, you know, the souls are exited and stuff like that. And stuff like that, I mean like the horn and the blowing on the horn, you know, stuff
like
that.
The trumpet, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying stuff like that as in a small manner. No, stuff like that, you're like in a big manner, in a huge manner. The most imaginable way possible.
Beyond our imagination. Or movies or anything
I'm not believing it. Now, of course, there's also a different interpretation for the verse, and it states that when the seas are when al-bihar fujirat, it means that the water becomes like fire. Lava mixes with the water.
Uh-huh.
That's one interpretation available in Tafsir al-Qummi, and the rest of the interpreters also stated as a theory out there for the interpretation.
So in the previous two verses we're looking at the skies, and in these two verses we're looking at the earth itself. When the graves are turned inside out, what is the significance about that?
We talked about this before in one of the verses as well, in one of the chapters. But we talked about this before, and this is actually either. It means that whatever treasure was available underneath the earth will arrive on top of the earth, or it will mean that whatever dead person will come back alive, right? Like it's like the earth is throwing them up.
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine this picture, like dead bodies going out and coming back to life for the Day of Judgment.
Okay, thanks for that. Let's take a short break now. We'll be back.
Don't go away.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back to IRIB English Radio. This is Quran Quest. We are with Brother Habib. We're on chapter 82. We've just began the chapter and we've covered verses 1 to 4 of this chapter. I'm going to read these verses again. When the sky is cleft asunder and when the stars are dispersed, when the seas are burst forth, and when graves are turned inside out. These are the events that are going to lead to the Day of Judgment. All of them are phenomenal events, beyond our imagination, extraordinary. And the audience for this, as you said, since this is a Mekki chapter, is the Kuffar. Why is the Quran saying this to the Kuffar? Why is it talking about this kind of events?
Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kind of emphasizing on this phenomenon, is emphasizing on this reality that's going to happen one day. And it's pretty much really goes back to what I believe in, and that is that al-ma'rifah fatriyah, knowledge or divine knowledge. Sometimes I'm not going to call it divine knowledge, I'm going to call it knowledge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
is something innate. It's something
part
natural
of our nature.
Yeah, it's given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every human being. And we'll talk more about that in the verses Subghatullah wa Fitratullah. All of these imply this meaning. Now here, it really doesn't matter if you're a kafir or not a kafir. It doesn't matter if you're in denial or not in denial. Just imagine that, because like how we stated before as well, and like how we pointed out too, that believing that there will be a Day of Judgment, that there needs to be a Day of Judgment, is something that every intellect has the power to reach. It does not need a messenger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It does not need you don't have to know the details. But believing in the Day of Judgment by itself is an intellectual matter. You have to believe, as long as that there is a creator, that this creator is all wise and does not do anything unjust, there must be a Day of Judgment where the creations are all set forward and are to be judged. And therefore it's available in our, you know, innate.
So it's hardwired in our
mind. So here it's just pretty much like, you know how you have dust on a book and you just like blow on it to remove the dust? This is the same thing here. Just think about the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Returning to the fact that all this creation around us was done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's much easier to, you know, do these things that are mentioned here.
So it's a very strong wake-up call, even to the kuffar.
All for every human being.
Even if they don't believe in it.
Even if you don't believe in it, because you have to believe in it. Afillahi shakkun? Is there any doubt in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
But no, well, the kuffar obviously doubt.
We talked about this before, about the topic of al-mustada'af. The reality of a kafir, the person that usually we bash and ban in the Quran, we state that this person deserves hell or not, is the person with juhud.
Who knows the
denial.
Truth and denies.
Denial.
Knowing.
As if it was a mustadaf, a person without any knowledge. Or a person who, there was knowledge out there, but he doesn't have the capability to know what is right and what is wrong. Without denial, that person is outside of the closure of al-mustadaf, like we stated before. So it doesn't matter. This person with denial has knowledge. The person that is mustadaf, ponder about it. Mm-hmm. Reflect. Mm-hmm. Reflect about these verses. When you read these verses, you're supposed to think that one day, whatever I did, like on how we're going to talk in the coming episode, all of this is going to happen.
Thank you very much. Yes, the Quran is all about thinking, and in Islam is all about thinking, and the Quran constantly reminds us to think. Thank you very much, Brother Habib. This was IRIB English Radio. The program was Quran Quest. Don't forget that we will continue this discussion same time, same place next week. But if you've missed today's program, you can always download an archive of this episode and all our previous episodes. Simply search IRIB English Radio Quran Quest. Until next week, and a lot of thinking. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I'll be in the love. Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Disability is not an obstacle to success. A group of Japanese with disabilities has proved it as they create incredible handicraft and make a living this way. A shop called Amayaka offers the items made by these disabled individuals. Located in a Tokyo neighborhood, it showcases products ranging from scarves and bags to glassware and colorful cards. Mayaka and all other workshops are part of a new movement aimed at promoting works of people with impairment. In just one of the workshops cooperating with Mayaka, about 20 disabled people are working over there. However, organizers of the movement say these people are still invisible in the society and are not paid fairly for their works despite being experienced in craftsmanship.
Some workers here have a career of more than 30 years. They have been weaving since their school days. They are so experienced that we should refer to them as artisans.
The organizers say they hope that their initiative will promote the works of the people with disabilities and help the society to start thinking about the way disabled workers are being treated. Turtles get a second chance to spread their fins after being found with bellies full of plastic. They were rescued and are now being released back to the sea in Argentina. Two green turtles and four loggerhead turtles were saved from fishing nets in Buenos Aires province. The group was taken to Grupo Marina Foundation, where they recuperated after purging 10 types of plastic from their bodies. Rehabilitation of the turtles lasted over a month and included blood tests and other procedures to make sure they were free of plastic. A biologist for the foundation says the danger of plastic is that it's silent and usually its dangers are so gradual that it goes unnoticed.
Many times the animal appears to be in perfect health. However, during the checkup and evaluation, we found a large amount of this material inside. So it is important to get rid of the plastic before the condition worsens and it ends up causing the deaths of the specimens.
The turtles had mistakenly eaten plastic, thinking it was food. Wind, waves, and sunshine break down discarded plastic into tiny pieces, which litter ocean waters. Much of this plastic waste can be found on beds of seaweed that turtles forage for food. This trash ends up fatally clogging their bellies, causing the decline in the population of this graceful reptile. The Indian administered Kashmir has the world's only floating post office. A 200-year-old houseboat on a famous Dal Lake in Srinagar, set up during the British rule in India. The post office has survived throughout the years because of its charm. Our correspondent Shahanabad has more.
The Indian administered Kashmir was once a princely independent state, out of bounds for outsiders. As the ruler of Jammu and Kashmir disallowed non-locals to own property in this picturesque region. During the British rule in the Indian subcontinent, many Britons tried to find an alternative way of living in Kashmir. Thus, houseboat on the world-famous Dal Lake came into existence. Today, the lake is a home to hundreds of such boats, which are a major attraction for tourists around the globe. This one is a unique boat, the only floating post office in the whole world. This is a 200-year-old boat built by the British. It has truly stood the test of time as it still functions.
Post office, Dal Lake.
This is not an ordinary post office. We're standing on a heritage property. I've enjoyed my work since the very first day I came here. It's a unique experience to be working here, and every day I get the chance to meet people from different corners of the world.
The boat is not limited to postal services. It also has a small museum where colorful stamps from the 1980s are put to display, along with a collection of rare philately stamps. The post office is a hot tourist destination in the region. Locals also come to this post office to send postcards to their loved ones, inviting them to visit Kashmir.
Floating post office.
In the age of technology, electronic mails, e-cards and other internet applications have made it extremely easy for people to communicate. But sending a postcard from this floating post office gives one a really different feeling.
The floating post office underwent reconstruction in 2011 and is currently a part of the Indian postal system. Recently, the office started offering banking services, thus attracting more locals.
I have opened an account here for my daughter. It's hassle-free and this place suits my mind. It's not like the usual offices. Visiting this place with kids is like a trip.
Yet another attraction of this post office is this souvenir shop, from where everyone can buy postcards, stamps, traditional crafts and greeting cards.
This floating post office in Kashmir's Dal Lake is like a time machine. It brings people back to 2 centuries ago and shows them the history of the beautiful region. Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Now let's go to Germany to hear the heartwarming story of how technology is turning a young boy's life around. 7-year-old Joshua has a severe lung disease which has made him unable to go to school. But now he can attend his classes from home with the help of an avatar robot. The device sits in Joshua's Berlin classroom, enabling him to listen to the classroom in real time to what his teacher and classmates are saying. Joshua can even interact with everyone else by making the robot display a blinking signal.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news and more from every corner of the world.
Each year, a village in Vietnam becomes awash in red and orange as it gears up for the Lunar New Year with spectacular mass production of incense. January is usually the busiest time when villages are dyeing, drying and whittling bamboo bark to make the fragrance sticks. Also, the scent of each batch is carefully tailored to suit the tastes of the regions where they will be sold. Most households here are involved in this ancient trade and sales are a major part of their livelihoods. The Lunar New Year will begin on the first day of February. Around this time, sales tick up with throngs of people crowding into temples to light incense during worship. A 3-year-old girl from China's Hebei province has astonished ski enthusiasts with her impressive snowboarding talent.
Hello everybody, I'm Wang Xixi. I'm 3 years old and I can snowboard now.
Xixi's skills have attracted a lot of attention as a toddler boldly tackles the slopes. She makes snowboarding look easy. Despite her tender age, she is already taming the slopes at a higher skill level than a number of other aspiring snowboarders. Her parents say she has been practicing for less than 2 weeks and her progress is startling.
I remember several years ago, I felt quite scared when I was on the advanced slope, but a mother told me that Xixi started to snowboard down right when she got to the advanced trail. She was not afraid at all.
Her parents say she quickly grasped the snowboarding movements and techniques, including some of the trickiest swivels and turns. They say Shishi is enjoying the progress she is making on the slopes, and every chance she gets, she asks to go snowboarding. The young snowboarder's mum says the hobby has also brought the family closer together as they enjoy a shared passion together.
The chronic shortage of human organs has always been an issue for patients, especially those suffering from heart diseases. But now a major scientific breakthrough is in the making. U.S. surgeons have successfully implanted a heart from a genetically modified pig into a man. Doctors had said the patient, 57-year-old, was unable to have human transplant because of his health conditions. But now he is recovering from his latest surgery. The surgeons say the man is being carefully monitored to determine how the new organ is performing. But for those who want to know why pigs, here is why. Pigs are considered ideal donors because of their size and rapid growth, among other things.
You know, it is a game changer because, you know, now we will have these organs readily available if this works. And, you know, and I hope it will work. We'll have these organs available. We can, you know, we have the technique of genetically modifying. So if there are more tweaking required for modifying the genes, we will be able to do that. And, you know, can you know, customize basically the heart for or the organ for the patient.
The transplant is the first of its kind in the world and follows years of research. In the U.S. alone, about 110,000 people are currently waiting for an organ transplant. Also, more than 6,000 patients die each year before getting one. Kingdom of Ice and Snow. Don't be surprised, it's an international sculpture festival held annually in the Chinese city of Harbin. This year the venue brims with sports elements in a runner-up to the 2022 Winter Olympics scheduled in Beijing. The annual Winter Festival is the largest of its kind, where sculptors spend weeks using ice and snow to create structures under a given theme. The upcoming Winter Games is the theme this year, as one can visualize giant statues of Bing Duanduan. The adorable panda mascots are major attractions of the exhibition. The chief designer says an ice tower standing in the center of the park features 24 vertical structures, referring to the 24th Winter Olympics.
In terms of the design concept, the sculpture features 24 vertical structures, referring to the 24th Winter Olympics to be held in Beijing. The spiral array form also indicated the proactive spirit of the Olympics. The free and upward effect is a vivid presentation of the Olympic flame.
The annual festival, which is being held for about 3 decades, usually attracts domestic and foreign tourists. But COVID-19 restrictions have limited the crowds over the past couple of years. Harbin is located in northeast China and receives cold winter wind from Siberia. An average winter temperature there is around minus 17 degrees Celsius.
South Koreans enjoy a wildlife refuge near the Korean Demilitarized Zone. New tours opened in November from the DMZ Crane Peace Town. Frank Smith has more in this report.
A new hiking trail and birdwatching facility opened up in South Korea this past November. DMZ Crane Peace Town created special birding cabins and guides wilderness hikes north of the 38th parallel, near the DMZ, the fortified border with North Korea. The Demilitarized Zone was created with the armistice that ended the Korean War back in 1953. guard post fencing, and a 2 to 4 kilometer wide buffer zone now separate North Korea and South Korea, with that no man's land becoming home to rejuvenated plant and wildlife.
Local officials see wildlife tourism as an opportunity to promote inter-Korean peace.
Cranes know no borders. That's why we're promoting the crane as a symbol of peace, as they can freely come and go between North and South Korea.
Each winter, several species of birds, especially cranes, spend time to rest and feed in the area, where there's little development and few people. Officials say more birds have been coming here because of depleted feeding grounds in the north.
Sichuan has wide plains suitable for growing rice. Cranes eat the grain that has fallen after harvest, and it's the best place for cranes because it's located north of the civilian control line.
A safe vantage point to photograph the wildlife is provided at the Hantan River near Yangji Village, attracting birders from far afield.
I left home at 4 in the morning to come here to photograph wild birds, swans and cranes. It's good because there are many mallard ducks and other birds. They fight for food with each other, but it's fun.
Cranes are considered a sacred symbol of longevity and fortune here, and designated a national monument. Frank Smith, Cheongwon County, South Korea.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamate is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. Stay tuned.
قرآن کریم به پیغمبر گرامی اسلام می‌فرماید به مسلمان‌ها بگو
Allah in the Holy Quran Surah At-Tawbah Ayah 55 states, So let not their wealth and children impress you. Allah only desires to punish them with these in the life of this world, and that their souls may depart while they are faithless. A true example of such people in this ayah was Walid, the polytheist at the time of Prophet Muhammad. He was mean to an extent that in Surah Mudassir, his thoughts are cursed several times by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was the person who called Prophet Muhammad a sorcerer. Walid was wealthy and had many sons who were all healthy and helping their father.
O
قرآن به مسلمان میگه به پیغمبر میفرماید لا تعجب که.
However, in Surah Toba, Ayah 55, Allah warns the people not to be impressed by wealth and children of the people like Wali, because this will make them faithless. There are many people like Wali in today's world too, the people who are competing for more money and power, the people who compare themselves with others only in terms of financial and materialistic wealth. The religion of Islam is absolutely against comparison made based on money and wealth. On the contrary, if we compare our conditions with those who are lower than us, we are always thankful to Allah and we never feel poor or needy. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a shorter speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. To find out more about this program, log on to our website www.parstoday.com/Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Back to reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Back to Reality. I'm your humble host, Muzaffar Haider. Here in the studio today, we have with us two very, very special guests. On my right, we have Sister Asma. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
And on my left, Sister Zainab. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam and assalamu alaikum from Ayan.
Sister Zainab, I've met you before, I've worked with you before, but could you give a brief introduction to about yourself? I mean, who are you? Where have you come from?
I am Zainab Askari. I am from the Indian occupied Kashmir, and I'm like done with masters in linguistics from Kashmir University, and then I came to Iran. It's been 7 years I'm here. I am studying Hausa right now.
Uh-huh. So linguistics, you're going to be dealing with like
the rules of translation, phonetics, syntax, yeah, morphology, what we do in like Sarf and now stuff.
Ah, you're my teacher then. Sister Asma, is it? Where are you from? Who are you?
Well, I am from Iran and I study English literature.
124,000 prophets have come and gone, and humanity, if you look at it today, if we bear in mind that that many messengers have come for the guidance of the human race, should be much, much better than it is. If anything, when people think about humanity, they think that it's completely gone astray. What's going on here? Surely we should be better. We're actually worse off. And as we see time going on and on, we're seeing it getting worse and worse and worse. Or maybe that's just my perspective. Let's go with Sister Zainab. Sister Zainab, what is your immediate thought on this?
Well, do you think when prophets came, we didn't have people going worse at that time?
No, it wasn't as bad as it is today.
Well, it is as bad as, however, it was bad even that time. Like, it makes a difference. Like, see, you're seeing Prophet in front of your eyes. You're seeing his, you know, ethics, his morals, his deeds, his actions. And then again, you are rejecting that person. Differs from when you're not seeing any Prophet at all in front of your eyes. You're only studying about it, you're only learning about it, you're only hearing about it. So that's why where it goes more worse. And yes, we had people who had been going worse even then. But this worseness increased by time because we are not seeing them practically anymore.
Okay, so Sister Zainab is bringing the argument that, look, the people of the past were actually worse because they had the prophets in front of them.
Yes.
It's a valid point. Sister Asma, what's your take?
Well, I would say that evil and good are always existing. I'm talking about the human essence that lives in us. Half of us is good and the other half is bad. Maybe some people would nurture the evil more and some others will nurture the good part. But they exist, and I think the prophets only show you the way. The rest is your decision. And another point is that as the societies change, as they develop, as there are more tools for pleasure, as there are many tantalizing things for you to do, then you must be tempted. So they are not going to be all good. The evils also are going to improve by the time.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
We're talking about time itself here and the history of the human race, and Allah swears by time. Wal-asr innal insana lafi khusr. Allah swears by the time that,
yes,
surely human beings are in khusr. They're completely lost. They,
yes,
are inside loss, you
they're
know.
Incomplete loss.
Except, yeah, for a very few number of individuals, you know, the mukhlaseen, those who are inspired.
Who perform amal salih, who perform
so loyal to their creed.
Mm-hmm. I even who do tawsiyah wa tawassul bil haqq wa tawassul bil sabr, who suggest people to come towards truth, who suggest people to have patience. However, they suggest people before they have that within themselves, before they have come to truth them for themselves, before they have sabr, they have patience in themselves, then only they can suggest other people to have sabr and to come towards truth. Otherwise, people are not going to accept from you. Like, once you don't have those qualities within yourself, you don't act on them yourself, you cannot suggest people. So when Allah is saying in the same surah, Surah At-Tawasaw Bilhaq wa Tawasaw Bis-Sabr, like, suggest people to come towards truth and to patience, it means that you should have that within you, yourself as well. It's a two-part story. Like, you should have it, and that's what you should suggest people to come on it. Otherwise, you are in loss. Allah, and Allah swears by your life. He swears by time. Asr is your life. Because this, see, if someone comes in and gives me entire world, gives me anything I want in return of, like, he tells me, just give me, I don't know, so many tons of gold and I'll return you your childhood, I'll do anything to give that back, because time really means a lot. It is so precious. It's priceless. I'll give everything I have to get back my childhood. But Allah says, you are giving in something, you're giving your life, you're giving your time. I swear by this time, while asked, that you are in loss. Because you're giving something and you're not gaining anything at all. Unless and until you're not inviting people towards haq, you're not inviting them towards truth, and you're not inviting them towards sabr, like to do patience. Now it depends on the people, how they take you. Like, you know, people should have that capability. They should have that, what we call in Persian as zarfiyat. They should have that capacity to accept it.
Yes, and I told you, it's all about the decision. Decision really matters, because all the people have the opportunities and the chance to do bad things and to do good things. But who is to choose which one? That matters.
But I'm going to play devil's advocate. All of these prophets and imams, they're all a waste of time, because humanity stinks. It's so bad. And I kind of do identify with Iblis to an extent, because he wasn't refusing just to bow to Adam. He was refusing to bow to humankind. And there's a really interesting hadith in this regard, actually, where Fir'aun is on his throne. Right, he's sitting on his throne and he's telling all the people, yes, I'm your Rabb, I'm your God, I'm your Lord. And a man from among the crowd says, he holds up some fruits, some grapes, and he says, if you're God, can you turn these into gems? Fir'aun gets embarrassed and he knows he can't do that, so he leaves and he goes to his chamber. He hears footsteps coming towards his chamber and he says, who is that? Who's there? And the voice of that same man holding the grapes says, you claim to be God, but you don't even know who's outside your door? And the man comes inside and he says, look at these grapes. And he reveals himself. The man was actually Shaitan, Iblis in disguise. And he says to Fir'aun, look at these grapes. And he turns them into gems in his hand. And he says, I have the ability to do this. And I don't even have the audacity to say that I'm God. Who do you think you are? Fir'aun says, okay, well, if you're so clever, why didn't you bow down to Adam when Allah commanded you? Iblis says, because I looked through the lineage of Adam and I saw scum like you. That's why I didn't want to bow down to Adam.
But he didn't see the good things.
Prophets came for all.
They did. The fruits, the outcome of what they did are the good people throughout the history. It's true that there are many bad people among human beings, but there are some very good people who have the opportunity to be bad, who have the, maybe they got to be bad people, but they choose to be good always. Although they have the situation and the power maybe, to be bad, but they choose to be good. This is the beauty of human beings, when they have the power to be bad, but they still pick to be good.
But this free will that Allah created, surely it is, it's a catastrophe. I mean, I'm going to use the argument of the angels here, okay?
Yes. So,
and I said, I'm being devil's advocate here. The angels cried out and said, Ya Allah, why are you creating this creation that, you know, is going to create bloodshed on the earth?
Yes, not all of them. And Allah answered that, you don't know. I know things you don't know. There are plenty of good peoples who shine like diamonds. We have all the A'imma, like Imam Hussein, who will help all the miserable people in the future to come.
We have so many beautiful things, like apart from angels, apart from like any other creation. Let's come back to human beings. Human beings sometimes themselves think that when the prophet's enough, when wasn't the book enough to guide us and all, then why are we getting derailed out of track? whenever any verse, any surah came and got revealed on Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, there was a reason behind it. There was some thought dominant in the society. For example, let me give you an example. There was a thought dominant that people were being affected by black magic and other kind of weird deeds. They didn't know where to go, where to seek refuge. Then this thought was dominant in the society. There was need. People needed a refuge.
Yes.
And Allah revealed the surah, Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas. Come back, you know, seek refuge to Allah, you know, who is Rabbin nas, Malikin nas, Ilahin nas, who is the Lord of the people, who is the King of the people, who is the, you know, God of the people. So come back to him. If you want to seek refuge, seek refuge to him. I mean to say, whenever a surah got revealed, it had a history behind it. There was something Allah wanted to answer, not for that particular society, but for the entire human generation. Like even today, we have so many social problems, but Quran is the, you know, comes up with so many solutions, but we don't look into it. Why we are failing? Because Allah says in Quran at four places. It's in Surah Nisa, it's in Surah Sa'd, it's in Surah Muhammad, and there's some more surah, I don't remember that right now, but Allah says to contemplate, do tadabbur in Quran. First, Allah says in Surah Nisa, like, see, contemplate in Quran, try to find the connections between the ayahs, and if you don't do that, you're going to astray, you're going to go out of path.
Yeah, I mean, of course,
because you'll see Allah is swearing on something, and then out of, like, on the top of the verse he's talking about something, and in the middle of the verse he's talking about something else, and then he's at the end of the surah he's talking about something else. But why he got all that in one surah? Allah says do tadabbur, contemplate. Yes, do tadabbur. But he tries, says, why don't you do tadabbur? Like, he says, why don't you do that? Do tadabbur. Like, he does not come up with, like, do it. First he says do it, then he tries, tells us, why don't you do it? Why don't you do it?
Exactly.
Why are you not doing it?
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
You know, the answer of our entire discussion, I guess, is in Surah Ala. The thought was dominant in the mind of Prophet himself. This is very interesting. Like, forget about the people. Prophet himself, when he was inviting people towards Haq, towards truth, towards Islam, and people were not listening to him, he used to think, am I a bad teacher? Or isn't the Quran enough for them? He had this thought dominant in his mind. And then Surah Ala comes in, and what does Allah say? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And then glorify, praise your Lord. There's nothing like Allah has kept anything less. Allah says in that surah, like, look at the grassland. If I created a grassland, it does not remain green all the time. It gets, like, see in the verses, فَجَعَلَّهُ قُسَاعًا أَهْوَى. It gets, first it gets dry, and then it turns into dark. This does not mean that Allah was not able to keep the grassland green for the all time. In the first verses, Allah says, I have made the human beings, and I divided, I made proportions, and I expect from them, like, Allah does not expect from you the ibadah that he expected from some idolah. He expects from you the only that you have capability of.
Subhanallah.
Does not mean that I was unable, or like you, Prophet, you don't need to doubt yourself, because when I'm revealing, because Prophet doubts himself, if I'm revealing something, am I not able to deliver it properly? It's the people who have, like, there's something that's missing.
Yes, and just to add to it, through the time, as time goes by, we see that people change. The more the people are educated, the more they study, the more they learn, the more they go through different experiences in the history, I think people become more complex, and the effect of modernity and the total change in the world would make them less concerned with those religious issues and those borders. That's why maybe they are getting, as they get closer to modernity and far away from their creed, all these bad things maybe grow. That's my idea.
And definitely, to round off the discussion, because we've run out of time, despite all of these things, at the end of the day, I do believe that human beings are gradually moving in the direction of their own reformation and internal perfection. Now, some people might be perfected towards light and others might be perfected towards darkness. That's in everybody else's hands. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى. Praise be to Allah, the Most High. That's all we have time for. We hope that you enjoyed and benefited from the discussion. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
يا الله يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي لدي أمة رزقك يا الله يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي التي أمة رائزك لا تعصي دلعتك وانسك.
ربنا ربنا.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
Rabbana, Rabbana, ya Rabbana, ya Rabbana, ya Hayyu wa ya Qayyum, nawwir qalbana.
You're listening to the program The Key on RIB English Radio with Shiraz Hussain Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Thank you for joining us here today. Today we're going to be talking about a question that a lot of people bring up and pose. Sometimes this question is proposed by followers of schools of thought in Islam other than the Shiite school of thought. Sometimes they're even proposed by followers of the school of thought of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, especially when these people are come into close contact with adherents of other sects. Now that question is this: is the ceremonies which Shiites perform, regardless of whether they are ceremonies of happiness in which they commemorate the birthdays of the A'imma alayhim as-salam, or ceremonies of mourning in which they commemorate the martyrdom and the death of these personalities, are these ceremonies, are they an instance of innovation in religion or bid'at or not? Obviously, if we say that these ceremonies are an instance of bid'at and an innovation in religion, we know that innovation in religion is something forbidden, and therefore it must be shunned and it is not permissible. We can also generalize this question to include also crying, for example, for the death of the Imams alayhimus salam and the Prophet alayhi salam, as well as other sad days and occasions in the history of Islam. We can answer this question in a number of ways, but before we get to that answer or those answers, it's necessary to mention by way of a preliminary something regarding the meaning of the word bid'at. Obviously, we have to define this word before we can actually examine and look at whether these acts are instances of this general term or not. Obviously, this is a religious term, so we have to look at religion in order to gain a better understanding of what this term means exactly. When we look at some of the traditions narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Imams alayhi wasallam, we see that this word has been used in contrast to the word sunnat or tradition, right? For example, in a hadith from the Prophet narrated in Jami'ul Akhbar, page 125, we read the following, that a time will come for men when their hearts will become the hearts of devils. My tradition, meaning the tradition or the sunnat in them, will become bidat, meaning, or and vice versa. So here we see, meaning that the sunnat in that time and for those people will be replaced by bidat, will be replaced by bidat. So we see that bidat is a word that is used in contrast to sunnat. Therefore, anything that